This morning for our Bible study, instead of taking one particular Bible text like I normally do, I've decided today to bring you a message from seven different texts in Scripture. I want you to consider this morning seven stubborn statements. I want you to carefully consider these seven statements in the light of Holy Scripture and honestly answer them in your heart. Now, here's the first one. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Turn up the radio just a little bit louder or pull up your chair just a little bit closer. Or if you're driving along, pull over and listen to these seven statements. Here's the first one. Either God is absolutely sovereign or He's not God. Now, David said, our God is in the heavens and He had done whatsoever He pleased. Psalm 115. Psalm 135 declares, I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places. Now, only a God who is absolutely sovereign reigns over all things, doing as He pleases in creation, in providence, and in salvation, is worthy of the name of God, worthy of our worship. A God whose power can be defeated, whose will can be frustrated, whose purpose can be defeated, whose grace can be resisted, is no God at all. Either God is absolutely, eternally, infinitely sovereign, or He's not God at all. Either He does what He will, when He will, with whom He will, in the way He will, or He is not God at all. Now listen to this scripture in Daniel 4, verse 35. Our God declares, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, Lord God, what doest Thou? Either God is absolutely sovereign or He's not. Now, the Scriptures declare that He is. Secondly, either man is totally depraved, totally sinful, without God, without hope, without life, or he is not. There is no such thing as partial depravity. Some would have us believe that man is blind in one eye, lame on one foot, withered in one hand, deaf in one ear, partially sinful, partially dead. But the Scriptures paint a different story. Man is totally shut out. Man is totally depraved. They tell us, some do, that man is guilty of sin. But the Scriptures declare that he is full of sin. The Word of God declares that man's heart is evil, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. He's deaf, lame, blind, dead in sin. Man by nature is spiritually ignorant, spiritually separated from God. He's helpless and shut out because he's dead in sin. The Scriptures declare in Romans 5 so clearly, in Adam all died. In Adam all are shut out. In Adam all are condemned. Now listen to this Scripture from Genesis 6. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man is totally depraved. Now here's the third statement. Now consider these things carefully. Either God chose his own elect in Christ before the foundation of the world, or God has no people at all. The same Bible that reveals that there is a God in heaven, that Christ died for sinners, that all who believe on Christ are the people of God, teaches plainly the doctrine of eternal election. If you reject the gospel of and the doctrine of God's elective grace in Christ, you must reject the gospel doctrines of redemption by Christ, the gospel doctrine of regeneration in Christ, the gospel doctrine of eternal life in and from Christ. Either God has an elect people chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, or He has no people at all. The Scriptures plainly declare that God chose a people unto salvation from eternity. Now, let me read you two Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Now listen carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, all to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now here's the second scripture that verify and teach that God chose a people unto salvation in Christ way back in eternity. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, God did choose a people unto salvation way back yonder in eternity. Now here's the fourth statement. Either the Lord Jesus Christ effectually, particularly redeemed all His elect by His death, by His blood on the cross, or He failed in His priestly work to do so. Now here's the scripture. Matthew 1:21. It's written, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. My friend, the death of Christ is not a failure, it's victory. It's securing the everlasting salvation of God's elect upon Calvary's cross. Our Lord came to put away the sin of His people. He came to redeem, justify, and save His own elect. Either He effectually accomplished the great work of redemption by His bloody sacrifice, substitutionary sacrifice upon the cross, or He failed. Either Christ redeemed His people, or His blood was shed in vain. And we know nothing God does is in vain. We know that nothing God does is a failure. It says in Isaiah 42 that He shall not fail. Now listen to this scripture in John 10, verse 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. The blood atonement of Christ is particular, it is effectual, and all of God's elect were redeemed by the blood of Christ. His blood was not shed in vain. Now here's the fifth statement. Now consider these things carefully. Here's the fifth statement. Seven stubborn statements. Now here's the fifth one. Either God the Holy Spirit calls sinners irresistibly by His grace and power, or He does not call sinners to Christ at all. Now we are told by some that the Holy Spirit's call can be resisted, that the power of God, the gospel of God, can be defeated, that the grace of God can be frustrated by the sinner's depraved, puny will, but the Word of God declares, and this is where we find our source of information, our comfort, our hope. The Word of God declares, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power, God's power. Psalm 110, verse 3. Here's another scripture that verifies that God irresistibly calls His people to Christ, giving them faith and repentance that acknowledges the truth. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee. Salvation is by the power of God, by the purpose of God, by the grace of God, not by the power and puny will of a fallen, frail, fickle, sinful creature. When God the Holy Spirit calls, the dead hear. His voice, when He says, live, sinners live in Christ. They come to Christ. Now, there's many examples of that in Scripture, but I'll give you one that clearly teaches that the call of the gospel by the power of God through the preaching of the gospel is irresistible. Our Lord walked in the front of a tomb of a dead man, Lazarus, and He spoke with power, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Now, that example, that was all given to us to show us that God irresistibly calls sinners to Christ, giving them faith and life in Christ. Now, here's the sixth statement. Either all of God's elect will persevere to the end. These all died in faith, it says in Hebrews 11. Either all of God's elect will persevere to the end or none of them. None of them will. Now, our perseverance in faith depends upon not our will. Our perseverance in faith depends upon our Lord's sovereign preservation and His sovereign grace. We are kept by the power of God through faith. If it were possible for one of God's elect to fall from grace and to lose salvation, all of them would. We're not kept by our power. We don't persevere by our power. We're preserved by the grace of God. But my friend, it's not possible that any of God's elect should perish. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What does that mean? That means those in the hand of Christ, in the hand of God, have life in Christ, and they are saved eternally in Christ. Now, here's a scripture again that verifies this fact, this truth. John chapter 6, verse 37 through 39. Now, let's read these verses. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. God's elect do persevere to the end. Now, my friend, these are seven stubborn statements that you must answer, that you must deal with. Now, here's the last one. Either salvation is altogether by the grace of God, or there's no such thing as salvation. Now listen to me carefully. If salvation depends in any way on the works of man, all will perish. For no man can do that which pleases God. If salvation depends on the will of man, all will perish. For no man left to himself will come to Christ. Our Lord plainly says that in John 6. You will not come to me that you might have life. But bless God, we read in Scripture that salvation is all of grace. It's God who saved us. It's God who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Now listen to this scripture carefully from Romans chapter 9. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Salvation is not by man's works, but by God's grace, God's purpose. Salvation is not by man's will, but God's will. Salvation is of the Lord in its planning, its execution, its application, its sustaining power, and its ultimate glory. For by grace are you saved through faith. Seven stubborn statements. I pray that the Lord will give you grace to consider these things. If you would like to listen to this message again, I'd like to send it to you upon your request. You can call me at 631-9053. That is 631-9053. Or if you will write to me at Zebulun Baptist Church, 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky,